Thank you so much. Please be seated, and thank you, Bob, for those kind words. I treasure our friendship. Bob and I have been the closest of friends for all of those years, and I think we have a relationship somewhat akin to that of David and Jonathan in the Bible. How many of you love your friends? Yeah, friends are good. Can I take this tie off? I just wore it because I thought I was supposed to. And there's only two or three of us in the whole building that have one of these on. Is that okay? I haven't worn a tie in a long time. And this tie is probably at least 20 years old. I just got back from India and China, and in India and China, they don't wear ties, and my collar's so tight I can't get it. Hold on. Anyway, it's good to see you. Bishop, this is a good-looking crowd here tonight. And I've got some friends here that have been friends for a long time. God bless you. Thank you for coming out. Turn to someone near you and tell them, you're looking good tonight. Now turn to somebody else and say, are you sure you're okay? All right. Anyway, I may have to go to my wife and get her to loosen this thing. I bet she can't do it. I can't do it. She probably can't either. All right. Good wife. All right, I think I've got a word from the Lord for somebody tonight. But before I give that, I need to do a couple of things. One, I need to tell you a good joke. Now, my wife thinks I don't know any good jokes, but she's not a judge of good jokes. So you'll have to be the judge tonight. Anyway, we have been living in Texas for some time now. By the way, my Oklahoma friends told me that when we moved to Texas and we crossed the Red River, we raised the IQ of both states. Anyway, let me tell you this joke about a ranchers' convention they had down at Lake Texoma for Oklahoma and Texas ranchers. And all of you know that Texans love to brag. And so there was this Texas rancher, and he was looking to work up a brag. And so he found this Oklahoma rancher, and he asked him, he said, have you got a ranch up there in Oklahoma? And he said, well, yeah. And he said, well, how big is your ranch? And the guy said, it's not all that big. I've got about a section. And he said, what about you? Do you have a ranch in Texas? And he said, well, as a matter of fact, I do. And he said, well, how big is your ranch? And the Texas rancher said, well, tell you the truth, I don't rightly know. All I can do is describe it to you. And he said, I can wake up early in the morning, long before the sun comes up, get in my pickup, and I can drive all day long, and by the end of the day, I still haven't come to the end of my ranch. And the Oklahoma rancher said, yeah, I used to have a pickup like that too. Anybody here have a pickup like that? Okay, we got a few of them. Now, the second thing I want to just tell you real briefly about some things that are happening around the world. I've got a few of our brochures up here if anybody would like one afterwards. I've also got a few copies of my book, World Impacting Churches. They're $10 tonight. If you don't have $10, you can have one anyway. I mentioned that I just got back from India and China. How many of you know God's a big God? God is moving all over this world. And I tell you, you can't get a perspective on what God is doing just by looking in the United States, and certainly not by looking at Europe. But in India, I just got back from my 53rd trip to India in the last 13 years, and I'm telling you, God is moving in that country. We have trained now more than 40,000 pastors and church planters just in India, and the best we can tell, at least 20,000 people per day are coming to Christ in India right now. Now, what's happening in China is even bigger than that. I mean, this will blow your mind. What's happening in China right now is unparalleled in Christian history. The best we can tell, at least 30,000 per day are coming to Christ in China. Over the last 40 years, the number of believers in China has gone from 2 million to, get this, more than 100 million. I'm telling you, China is going to become a Christian country. About, the best we can tell, about 150,000 people per day are coming to Christ around the world. 4,500 churches are being planted every week around the world. I tell you what, let's give Jesus a real hand clap of praise. I tell you, he is a mighty God. He is an awesome God. Well, that's enough of that. I want to talk to you tonight about something that I believe God really laid on my heart. And I want to call this finishing your course in life. Or maybe finishing the race. And some of you may know where I'm going with that. But I want to begin by telling you a story about our oldest child, our daughter Ellen. Many of you know her. A few years ago, Ellen did a doctorate at ORU, and I remember well the first day of her doctoral classes. We were living in Broken Arrow at the time, and she was staying with us. And after the first day of class, she telephoned, and I answered the phone, and I just asked, "Ellen, how did it go today? How were your first day of classes?" And I will never forget her answer. You know what she said? She said, "Dad, you would not believe it." She said, "Today I found the reason for which I was born." How many of you know that's a good day? When you find the reason for which you were born. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight, because many people, in fact, I would say most people, never find it. They go through their whole life and they never find it. One of my favorite quotes and one of the saddest quotes I've ever heard comes from Benjamin Disraeli, who was a former UK prime minister. And here's what he said. He said, "Most people go to their graves with their music still inside them." Now, I want you to think about that. Most people go to their graves with their music still inside them. What's he saying? He is saying that most people live their entire lives and they die without ever discovering why they were born in the first place. They never find their reason for being. They never find why God created them in their first place. Now, I want to challenge you to think about this, and I want to challenge you to think about making God a promise that that will not be true of you, that you will not go to your grave with your music still inside you. Please don't do that. See, you were created by God, and you were created for a purpose. And one of the real keys to life is finding what that purpose is. Now, Paul made an amazing statement in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. All of you are very familiar with that. At the close of his life, Paul says, I have fought a good fight. What's that next statement? I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Now, oftentimes we emphasize keeping the faith, but tonight I want to emphasize about finishing your course, what God created you to do. Now, I want to read another statement about Paul that is similar, but one that you're less familiar with. So if you have your Bibles, open to Acts chapter 20, same verse, same chapter that we were reading in earlier. Acts chapter 20, please open your Bible or your cell phone or your iPad and mark this verse. I want you to look at this. Now, I'm reading tonight from the New Living Translation. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. Did you get that? Let me read that again. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Can you sense the passion in that? See, there's a passion in Paul's heart to finish his course, to complete the reason for which God created him. And I want to kind of break this message up into two sections. First of all, I want to talk to seniors. How many of you consider yourself a senior? Okay, now I have real trouble getting my hand up on that one. Peggy and I teach some seniors at our home church, but I have real difficulty considering myself one of those, even though I'm 71 years old now. So you can decide whether or not you're a senior. I remember when I first got my AARP card. I was about 55 and got that in the mail. And when I saw that, I threw that across the room. And I thought, I am not a retired person. I'm not elderly. But anyway, you decide. Now, I want some of you to get on my wife. She keeps talking about herself as being an old woman. In fact, she did that this morning. Did you get that? She mentioned that she was an old woman. I want somebody to get on her because she is not an old woman. She is a beautiful woman, but not an old woman. Okay, but I want to talk to, first of all, to those of you that that consider yourself a senior. And I want to tell you another quote that I heard many years ago that I love. And it's this: it's never too late to be what you could have been. Isn't that interesting? It's never too late to be what you could have been. In other words, God is able to meet you wherever you are, at whatever age you are, and help you finish your course. What God created you to do. I tell you myself, I was 57 years old when I really entered into what I was created to do. So it's never too late to be what you could have been. Some of you have hidden dreams, maybe dreams that you've never shared with anybody. And some of you may have dreams that you've let die through the years. And I want to just kind of stir you up a little bit tonight and pray that God will resurrect those. I've been praying for you throughout this day and throughout several days that God would resurrect dreams that have been there, dreams that have died through the years. Maybe you've been put down. Maybe circumstances have not allowed you to do what you really wanted to do. And I tell you, God loves you, and God wants to resurrect some of those dreams. And I pray that He will do that tonight. It's never too late to be what you could have been. I did a little research on this, and I want to read some things to you. In 1950, at age 40, Mother Teresa established the Missions of Charity Order with 13 nuns. Now, we all know what Mother Teresa is known for, and so she started that at age 40. At age 52, Ray Kroc started McDonald's, despite battles with diabetes and arthritis. Mahatma Gandhi led the Salt March for India's independence from Great Britain when he was 61 years old. Laura Ingalls Wilder didn't publish her first book until she was 64, and her first book was Little House on the Prairie. First book at 64. The first edition of Roget's Thesaurus was published when Peter Roget was 73. In 1994, when he was almost 76, Nelson Mandela was elected president of South Africa. Grandma Moses began painting at age 76. And after age 76, she turned out 1,000 paintings over the next 25 years. She painted her last painting at age 101, and at her death, she had paintings in both Vienna and Paris. And she painted her first painting at age 76. Jessica Tandy won an Oscar at age 80, for what movie? Driving Miss Daisy, that's correct. Retired Lieutenant Colonel James C. Warren, at the age of 87, became the oldest person in the world to get his pilot's license. How many like to fly on a plane with him? Smokey Dawson released a country music album in Australia at age 92. Dr. Heinz Winderoth in Germany graduated with a Doctor of Science degree in Hanover on the 29th of September 2008 at the age of 97. Became the oldest person in the world to get a doctor's degree. Now, I want to tell you, it's never too late to be what you could have been. God created you for a purpose. God created you to do things with him. And all of you that are seniors, I'm asking you a question right now, and that's this. What part of your destiny is still unfinished? I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're retired. I don't care how long you've been retired. I think of Charlene West here. She has just finished her fourth book, and I'm not sure how old she is, but I know she's over 50. See, what part of your destiny is still unfinished? What is it that's still left for you to do, that you were created to do? See, one day we're going to stand before the Lord. How many of you know that? We're going to stand before him, and I want to ask you seniors a question. If you were to stand before God right now, could you say to him, I finished my course. I did everything I was created to do. Now, I want to ask you another question. Why not seek God about the answer to that? I want to give you a suggestion. After this summer summit is over, why don't you get alone with God for 3 days in fasting and prayer? How long has it been since you spent 3 days in fasting and prayer? But asking God that question, have I finished what I was created to do? Are there still things left undone that I need to get my spirit around and do for your glory? See, God will listen to you. God will answer you. One of my favorite verses, and probably many of you as well, is Jeremiah 29. 11 to 13, God said, for I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And then he said, you will seek me and find me when? Yeah, when you seek me with your whole heart. God said, I will be found by you. So I want to challenge you, if you're a senior, get alone with God. Spend some time fasting and praying. Ask God to show you if there are still things left undone that you were created to do. It's never too late to be what you could have been. Okay, that's for the seniors. Now, here's for the non-seniors, the younger people, middle-aged people. When I think about middle age, I think about my friend Bob. When he was 55, he bought him a little red sports car, and Edith accused him of having a midlife crisis. And when Bob heard that, he said, that is wonderful. That means I will live to at least be 110. So all of you that are under senior age, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. In fact, I'd like for everyone, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. All of you are familiar with this, but this is an amazing verse. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Again, I'm reading from New Living Translation. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Now, King James uses the word workmanship. We are his workmanship, and some of you who have studied the scriptures know that in the Greek, that's the word poema, from which we get the word poem. You are God's masterpiece poem. Have any of you written poetry? Hands up if you've written poetry. Okay, any of you written good poetry? All right, I hope you're a whole lot better at it than I am. But if you've written poetry, you know that's not easy. To write good poetry requires a lot of work, a lot of thought. And what this passage is saying is that when God created you, He put a lot of thought in it. Please think about that. When God created you, He thought seriously and He thought carefully. And He planned. That's what Paul says here. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that He planned for us a long time ago. So you are God's carefully crafted poem. You are not an accident. I want everybody to look at me. I want you to look in my eyes because I want to tell you something really important. You were not born by accident. There is nobody in this world who was ever born by accident. The Bible says that God knew you before you were ever born. The Bible teaches that while you were in your mother's womb, God was at work in your life. He was thinking about you. Thinking deeply, carefully crafting a masterpiece. That's what Paul's saying. You are a masterpiece. And you were created in Christ Jesus to do things. Do you know the Bible says that you are created in the image and likeness of God? And what that means, one thing that means is that there is incredible potential inside you. Turn to somebody and tell them, there is big potential in you. I'm telling you that is true. You are not an accident. But the question is, why did God create you? What was God creating you to do? Well, when you look at the Bible as a whole, you find that God really created you for two things. Youth with a Mission caught that a long time ago when their theme became knowing God and making Him known. See, that's why every person was created. First of all, to have a relationship with God. That's why you were created. In fact, did you know the Bible says that's what eternal life is? Did you know the Bible defines eternal life? And it is not living forever in heaven. John chapter 17, verse 3. Jesus said, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have created. So eternal life is having relationship with God. But we were also created to do something with God. As Peggy was saying today, I wish all of you could have been here and heard her teaching this morning. Because one thing she was talking about was the difference in working for God and working with God. And that's an important distinction. And every person, the Bible teaches, was created to do something with God. You remember what Jesus said on the night He was betrayed? He said, I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. He said, now I call you friends. What's He saying? that together we are going to do things in this world. May God help us to lay hold of that. And so for all of you that are below the senior age, I want to ask you too, what does God want you to do with him? See, that's a really important question. Because one characteristic of all great leaders, tomorrow morning I'm going to deal with that a little bit more in my teaching, but one of the things that all great leaders have in common is what I call a sense of destiny. And what I mean by that is that they understand that they were created for a purpose, and they find out what that purpose is. And that purpose grabs them, and it becomes a passion in their life. And that's true of all the great leaders: John Wesley, Hudson Taylor, Mother Teresa, William Booth, Catherine Booth, William Carey, David Livingston, Henrietta Mears, Bill Bright, Lauren Cunningham, George Verwer, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr. What did they have in common? Well, one of the things they had in common was this sense of destiny, understanding that there was a reason for their creation. And they found out what that was, and it became a passion in their lives. See, that's my appeal to you. I don't care whether you're a senior or non-senior or a child. That's what I want to say to you. If you really want to be successful in this world, get this sense of destiny. We used to call it a call from God. But when I was a kid, I heard about the call of God. I was raised in church. I'm third generation IPHC on both sides of my family. So I've been in church all my life. I've heard about the call of God. But when I was a kid, only three kinds of people were called by God, and that was pastors, evangelists, and missionaries. They were the ones who were really called by God, and everybody else was just kind of along for the ride. But when I got old enough to study the Bible for myself, I found out that's not true. You know what I found out? Every single person is called by God. I want everybody to say this. I want you to say it out loud. I want you to say, I am called by God. Say it again. I am called by God. Now that's the truth. But the real question is, what are you called to do? Why did God create you? See, I was reading one day through Ephesians chapter 4, and I came across this verse where Paul says, writing not to pastors, not to evangelists, but writing to the body of Christ in the city of Ephesus, he said, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. And I'm telling you, that'll revolutionize your life. If you have never understood that you are called by God to do something specific with him, and we need to find out what it is. Now, if you're taking notes, I mentioned that sense of destiny. I want to just quickly give you a definition of a sense of destiny, what I mean by that. A sense of destiny is a clear revelation. Everybody say, clear revelation. See, that's what it is. A clear revelation of God's specific will and purpose for your life. What is a sense of destiny? It's a clear revelation of God's specific will and purpose for your life, which inspires vision, passion, and confidence that God has spoken. See, that's what we need today, desperately. We need people like you. I say amen to what Bishop Sherrill was preaching last night. He wants to see this conference transformed. But I'm telling you, there's only one way that that's going to happen. And that is for all of you to get pregnant with a vision from God. To do something for Him. It doesn't matter what it is. There are all kinds of gifts. There are all kinds of ministries. But we need to get pregnant with a vision from God. Did you know men can get pregnant? How many of you knew that? Yeah? Yeah, you can. And of course, I'm not talking about pregnant with a baby. I'm talking about pregnant with a vision that becomes so compelling inside you that you have to give birth to it. See, that's what Paul is talking about in that Acts 20 passage. He said, my life is worth nothing unless I do what God commissioned me to do. Now, if you want this conference to come alive, I can tell you how to do it. All of you seek God until He shows you why you were created and puts a vision in your heart to do something for Him. Doesn't matter whether it's preaching or teaching or Sunday school or children's ministry or youth ministry or prayer ministry or being a missionary. Everybody needs to understand that we were created for a purpose and to find out what that is. Now, I'm telling you, that will revolutionize this conference. So, get pregnant with a vision to do something for God. Get this sense of destiny. You know, I think about Jesus. Jesus was the most amazing leader that ever lived. And I think about Jesus' ministry. When He started His ministry, the first thing He did was start calling people to follow Him. And you remember He found two fishermen, Peter and John. What did He say to them? Yeah, He said, in essence, leave your fishing business. You come and follow Me, and I will teach you how to fish for men. And then He found two other brothers by the name of James and John. They were also in fishing business with their father Zebedee. What did He say to them? Same thing. Leave your father's business. Come and follow Me, and I will teach you how to fish for men. And then He found a man that had money. His name was Matthew. He was a tax collector. Did you know that most tax collectors in that day were wealthy? Because they took some of the tax money and they put it in their pockets. And Matthew was evidently making significant money. What did Jesus say to him? Follow Me. Leave your money. You come and follow Me. Now, here's the amazing thing. Why would they do that? They weren't children. I mean, they were adults. We know Peter had a wife. These are adults. And this itinerant Jewish rabbi comes by and he says, I want you to leave your business and come and follow Me. Why would they do that? Everybody say sense of destiny. See, that's why they would do it. Because when they looked into his eyes, they didn't see just another Jewish rabbi. They saw a man who was pregnant with a vision to change the world. And they wanted to be a part of it. And I want to tell all of you something. Do you know people will do the same thing for you that they did for Jesus? People will quit their jobs and follow you if you have a compelling vision. And I can prove it to you. I can name three missionary organizations: Youth with a Mission, Campus Crusade for Christ, and Operation Mobilization. All three of those organizations have thousands and thousands of volunteers. Many of them are professional people, doctors and lawyers and accountants and nurses, and they quit their jobs or they take early retirement and join those organizations, and get this, they don't even pay them. They have to go out and raise their own funds. Why would they do that? Why would a doctor take early retirement or a nurse quit her job to join Operation Mobilization? I can tell you why. Because when they looked into the eyes of George Verwer, they saw a man who was pregnant with a vision. They saw a man who wanted to change the world. If you want to be powerful with God, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what your calling is. You've got to get pregnant with a vision, a compelling vision that calls forth other people. And it's still happening all over the world. So for those of you that are not seniors, I want to ask you this too. Why don't you do the same thing that I suggested to the seniors? Why don't you take 3 days and get alone with God in fasting and prayer and ask God some hard questions? Why did you create me? What was I created to do with you? What do you want me to do for the rest of my life? See, that thing will change your life. Now, that's enough from me. I think you understand what I'm saying. So I want to end with another quotation, another one of my favorite quotations from a man by the name of Frederick Folk. And here's what he said. He said, "The greatest weapon on earth is the human soul on fire." Now, I believe that. I don't believe the greatest weapon on earth is a nuclear bomb. I think the greatest weapon on earth is someone like you that gets set on fire to do something for God. See, that's what I appreciated about Debbie Burpo when she was preaching and teaching to us today, because her soul is on fire to do something for God. And that needs to be true of every one of us, whether you're a pastor, evangelist, layperson, Sunday school teacher, nothing, whatever. See, the greatest weapon on earth, the most powerful weapon on earth, is the human soul on fire. And so I want to ask you, what are you on fire to do for God? What is it that's burning in your soul? Everybody stand up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord, awaken us. Awaken us, Spirit of God. Speak to us. Open our eyes, Lord Jesus. Open the eyes of our understanding, we pray, that we might see what you created us to do with you. Oh, God, help us to see. Help us to see. Resurrect dreams, old dreams and visions that have died or been pressed down. People that haven't been clear, help them become clear, oh Lord. Help them become pregnant with that vision to do something for you, Lord Jesus. I'll tell you what I want us to do. I want us to seek God tonight. I'm going to ask you to come forward if you're able. And I don't care whether you stand or kneel or walk around and pray or walk around the auditorium and pray. I just want you to come and let's seek God about this. Would you come? Everybody just come. Just start praying. Start crying out to God. Lord, open my eyes. Show me, Lord Jesus. Show me, Lord Jesus, what you would have me to do. Speak to me, Lord Jesus. Come on, let's pray. Just in your own way, we're spending some time seeking God, crying out to Him, open the eyes of my understanding that I might see, Lord Jesus. Let's have someone come and play some music here while we're praying and seeking the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, come. Come by your Holy Spirit. It's fine if you want to pray where you're standing, if you want to walk around, let's just spend some time crying out to God. Lord Jesus, help me finish my course. Help me understand all that I was created to do with you. Oh God, awaken any hidden desires, any dreams that have been pressed down. Lord, awaken them tonight. Oh Lord Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, come. Come and awaken our hearts. Come and draw us to yourself, Lord. As Bob was praying earlier, give us ears to hear what you would say to us, Lord. What you would say to your church. Come, Lord Jesus. Come and fill this place. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Show us, Lord. Show us, Lord, any unfinished areas of our lives. Show us why you created us. Show us what to do. Show us how to do it. Oh God, set my soul on fire for you. Will you do that, Lord? Will you set my soul on fire? Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I bless you, Jesus. We open our hearts to you. Spirit of God, as we were singing earlier, we open our hearts to you. Come and fill us. Come and fill this place. Fill this atmosphere with your presence, oh, Holy Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. You are so good, Lord. You are so good. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. We incline our ear to hear you. Help us, Lord. Help us to incline our ear to listen for your voice. Set us on fire, Lord. Set us on fire to do something for you. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.